He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And thank goodness it's Friday. That's right. It's the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now. I'm always glad to see Friday come around. I don't know about you. I'm sure everybody is, unless you work the weekend shift. Well, the Dow is happy it's Friday today. The Dow is up 282 points, 34,364. Guess what's leading the market? Oh, we're back to the cyclicals and the value stocks, you see. You might get a few days or a week where you question your judgment and moving out of growth and into value. But you know what? I think it's a trend that's here to stay, and I'm sticking to my guns. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. The NASDAQ's up 60. I mean, that's not all that bad. I haven't had a chance to do a real deep dive into the market, but I will be doing that. I've got my trunks on. Nice day here in Charleston. Got my snorkel. And I'll be looking for puffer fish and puffer stocks that are exploding to the upside today. And I'll be reporting back to you what I find all day long on Stock Twits and on Twitter. I'm at Bill Gunderson. We've got the, the S&P 500. We better check in on those guys over there, those 500 mega cap stocks. The S&P 500, where did my little tags go here? Okay, it's up 27 points. That's not bad. It's doing well today. And we've got gold up a few bucks here today. You know, gold's had a pretty good week, actually. It hasn't had a good week in a long time, so that's good. And let's check in on Bitcoin. Bitcoin has been the story this past week, and I got a couple of stories here on Bitcoin today. I think the first shoe dropped on Bitcoin this morning, and then the second shoe dropped on Bitcoin. I'll talk about that in a moment. And how is that bond market behaving today? It's quiet. It's very quiet. Bitcoin's down 712. So welcome to the Friday, the thank goodness it's Friday version of the Best Stocks Now show with your host, professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 22 years behind the mic. I need a break. I'm sick of sitting behind this mic. It's hard to talk to people through a mic. And 22 years as a professional money manager, I've seen some cycles. Oh, boy, have I seen some cycles in this market over the last 22 years. You know, I was thinking some of these younger investors, the only cycle they've seen is Bitcoin going to 65,000. Well, that's a dangerous cycle to start off with. It's like the guy, I knew a guy one time. Well, it was me. When I was a youngin, about 18 years old, 17, somewhere in there, 18, I think, my father liked to go to the horse races, so I tagged along with him. Who doesn't want to spend the day with their father? You know, he was a good old guy. He had a personality that was unbelievable. He walked into a room, everybody knew Marv Gunderson had walked in. And him and I would go to Caliente. In Tijuana, most every Saturday, he would pick up a racing form at the Fuller Liquor Store every Friday night. He'd stand outside till they came in. And he would bring that fresh racing form home and drop it on my desk. Said, Billy, have at it. Because he knew I was a number cruncher. He knew I was a guy that liked to figure things out. And, you know, we started working on that. And, you know, they had a big thing down there called the 5-10. It was the beginning of what they call today the pick six. You had to pick six in a row. And you had whoever had the most winners during that six-race span would win the jackpot, which was a big jackpot every week. And after about a year of trying, 9 months of trying, I finally had it figured out, and I hit the jackpot. And I got a stack of $50 bills, bundles of $50 bills. That added up to tens of thousands of dollars, okay, as an 18-year-old. And, you know, I thought, this is pretty easy. I don't think I ever hit it again. I gave up after a couple. Oh, I came close. I did well. But when you win, you know, right off the bat, well, then you think this is easy. You're hooked for life. And pretty soon, a lot of money going down the drain, chasing butterflies and waterfalls. And in fact, I've been chasing stocks here for the last 25, 30 years, and I find that to be a lot more rewarding and a lot more predictable than four-legged animals that are subject to all kinds of maladies, you know. All right, so let's go with yesterday. Let's talk about yesterday. Tech led the way yesterday. Well, you know what? I did a deep dive in the market. Yesterday was the morning after. The morning after the crypto blow-up. And I saw very little to write home about yesterday. The only things I saw moving that got me excited at all were some chip stocks and some cloud stocks. And some of the old high flyers, the Shopify's and Peloton, etc. But nothing to say, hey, it's time to go back into that stuff. Not at all. And the Dow continued, the cyclicals continued to sell off and the basic material stocks, but they're rebounding here today. I still think that this is very much, without question, a value market. You can go back into growth if you want to. That's what makes for a market. But I'm sticking with value right now. I rode that growth train for all it was worth in 2020. All right, we had the futures up all morning. Not sure why. We had a pretty good report on the PMI. That's the Purchasing Managers Index out of the United States. In fact, it was quite hot. Came in at 68.1 versus 60, which is, I think, more indication that we really do have inflation. I don't know if you read Buffett's letter, but I saw some excerpts of it. His annual letter that he put out a couple weeks ago, he definitely sees inflation, Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett has seen more cycles than I've seen. He's 90 now, pushing 90. And I hope to manage money till I'm 90. And I'm sure he didn't start out at Agua Caliente at the horse track, betting the 5-10. I don't know how he got started. He started a little insurance company called Berkshire Hathaway out of Omaha. And the rest is history. But he sees inflation. He sees inflation. You can read it in his letter, and so does Munger. U.S. leading indicators rose more than expected. You know, of all the reports that come out on the economy, this is one of the most important ones of all, and it's probably the one that most people really don't pay much attention to. It's called the LEI, the Leading Economic Indicators Index. It came in at 1.6, and it's all the way up to 113.3 versus 1.4 consensus. That's very good, very, very good. And again, I would say that that is one of the most important indicators that I watch on a monthly basis. Oh, the jobs report is a big one, obviously. And the retail sales is always a big one. The CPI is going to get more and more important, and the PPI going forward. But that leading indicators kind of takes all into perspective, and I like that a lot. Investors dumped the most tech since 2018 as cash moves to cyclicals. Well, you know what? I can just say that the cyclicals have underperformed the market for the last several years. Value has underperformed the market for the last several years. I saw a fairly good amount of value shops, well-known value shops, close shop last year because value has been such a poor place to be. But you know what? Everything that goes around comes around, and here comes value coming around that corner, choo-choo, and with its whistle blowing, running over the growth stocks for those that did not get out of the way. Kathy Wood's ETFs did pretty well yesterday. There was a little rebound there. But would I go running back into that space exploration and genomics and revolution and that kind of thing? No, I don't think so. Investors dumped the most tech since 2000. Now, some see that as a bottom in tech. Well, having said that, there's some value tech Applied Materials is a value tech stock. ASM Lithography is a value tech stock. Facebook is a value tech stock. But when you get up into those stratospheres of the really high price-to-sales multiples and forward PEs and high PEG ratios, they're not value stocks. They're momentum stocks, and that is not a good place to be. The 30-year mortgage rates hit 3%. That hasn't happened for a while. In January, we were at 2.65%. I've noticed that the market, the real estate market's cooled off a bit from white hot, you know, to maybe red hot. Inventory's scarce, inventory's thin. And now that the mortgage is about 3.0%, now that drives a few people out of the market. Well, we'll be right back. We're not going anywhere. I'm still in the market all day long. This is Bill Gunderson. Back here to the second quarter of the, thank goodness it's Friday, edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 247 right now. The bond market very quiet. The S&P up 18 right now. And the NASDAQ is only up 11. Okay, are we settling back into the pattern that's been in place for most of the year since February? Big day up for the Dow. A whimper out of the NASDAQ. I think that pattern continues, and that's how I'm positioned, and I have no intent on changing that position. If you're a golf fan, you might want to watch the PGA tournament this weekend. It's just about 30 minutes from my house, I would say, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, at a beautiful island called Kiawah. It is gorgeous. We go there to walk on the beach and watch the dolphins strand feed. I mean, right at your feet, they will chase fish up onto the sand in this in the Kiawah River there. And, I mean, you can get pretty dang close. They corral those fish, and then they attack. And it's pretty interesting to watch. One of the few places in the world where they do it. Well, they're at the Ocean Golf Course this weekend, the Ocean Course. Phil Mickelson, my favorite golfer from San Diego roots, obviously, doing pretty good. I think he was 2 under par there at Kiawah, but just watch that. You know, in the Pacific Ocean, we had big 6-foot swells, and the water's cold. It's 68 degrees, and a big wave knocks you over. We always had people coming to visit us, you know, from China Lake or whatever, relatives. My father would look out the window and say, "Oh, no. Look who's come to visit us." We were getting visited all the time because San Diego's better than China Lake. It's out in a dry desert near the Mojave Desert. And they would come and they'd want to go to the beach. And they'd step out a few feet and then get knocked over by a 6-foot wave that's 68 degrees and come up with seaweed all over them. And it's not quite as good as it looks. But anyways, out here on the East Coast, we don't have any waves. Just gentle 1-foot little things crashing on the beach, 80-degree water. Gets up to 90 in the summertime in the heat, on the heat of summer, so it's quite nice. I see some of those saltwater creeks running through that Kiawah golf course. I'm sure there's some redfish and trout in there. So check it out. That's the PGA golf tournament. A lot of people in town this weekend. Huge weekend in Charleston. I took my trip downtown last night. I said, you know, I'm just going to try. Maybe there's a spot at the bar at Hall's Chop House, one of the great steakhouses in the whole country. And doggone it if there wasn't. And I sat down and had my usual wedge salad and a New York steak, baby. Oh, man, it was good. I found a parking place right in front of the joint for free. I just figured it was my night. Anyways, it was crowded, though. They were getting ready for the golf crowd to hit later on. Sarasota, June 22nd, June 23rd, June 24th. Workshop on the 23rd. That's a Wednesday night. 3 days, and we'll even extend it to 4 if we have to. Appointments. Bill Gunderson will be available in the appointments after the radio show at 11 a.m. Prior to that, though, my whole crew's going to be there. They're all proxies for me. We talk alike. We walk alike. We look alike. You know, we all have the same kind of methodology. They know the Gunderson way. And if you'd like to set up an appointment, they are filling up fast, Edie informs me. She always does. I'm proud of Edie. She does a great job. If you'd like to meet with us while we're there in Sarasota at our office in Lakewood Ranch. And, of course, the workshop will be on Wednesday at the Grove. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. I'm just doing the final edit on the newsletter, this week's newsletter, and I'll be sending it out here in the next few hours. You can get a copy of the newsletter. I was telling you a little bit about, you know, the results we've achieved here over the last, since we started these portfolios for Seeking Alpha. We're pretty proud of them. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. I offer 2 free weeks of my full enchilada newsletter, and then the second 2 more weeks of the premium newsletter, which has everything but the portfolios. And then after that, you get a stripped down version, but it's pretty full of good information. So to get on the Gunderson mailing list, we send out thousands all over the world every Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Sometimes Sunday, no more of that. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Okay, I predicted that a couple of shoes would drop here on Bitcoin, and they did this morning and yesterday. Number one, Bitcoin reverses lower on the Biden administration plan for IRS enforcement. You see, there's a lot of business going on using Bitcoin. And the government wants a piece of all the action that takes place out there. They don't want an underground economy. And here's what they have to say. Cryptocurrencies pose significant tax evasion risk, says the Treasury. Among the proposals to strengthen compliance would be a requirement that any crypto transfer over $10,000 would be reported to the IRS. Bitcoin was down yesterday about $3,000 on this report and cutting short a sizable rally from the day before. Other cryptos are falling in concert. This news is part of a broader Biden plan to raise $700 billion in revenue over the coming decade by stepping up IRS scrutiny of Americans, including doubling the size of the IRS workforce. You need a job? Sounds like the IRS is hiring. By hiring 87,000 additional employees by 2031. Reporting of the crypto transfers would be set to begin in 2023. Well, ironically enough, I sat down last night in the Hall's job. The guy next to me was a tax attorney. He was a local tax attorney. Of course, I've done some transactions this year in merging my company with another company, and I walked away with his card. He'll be hearing from me in downtown Charleston. Good guy, real good guy. Had a nice conversation with him. He said that capital gains taxes absolutely going up next year, which I fully agree with. Now, the second shoe to drop. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the Fed will issue this summer a discussion paper on the possibility of a U.S. central bank digital currency. Well, I've been saying that for a long time. What's the existential threat to digital currencies, private digital currencies, a government digital currency? They want to track. They can't track this private stuff. You just heard what they're going to do with anything over $10,000. I think eventually you will see a U.S. crypto, whatever it's called, maybe SAMS, I don't know. But the key focus is on how a central bank digital currency could improve the current U.S. domestic payment system. I say it's going to happen. And I think that is a big, big threat to private digital currencies. That's what I think. More on what I think when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show on this Thank Goodness It's Friday episode. It's Bill Gunnarsson wafting through the air on this Friday. Here's an interesting tweet that just came out from the Financial Times on Twitter. I just said this myself before the break. Cryptocurrency holders take on central banks at their own peril. You hear that? Cryptocurrency holders take on central banks at their own peril. Well, that's kind of like fighting the Fed, you know. You can fight them all you want. You'll lose that battle. And I think that the central banks will win the cryptocurrency battle. They're going to just run out all of these private ones and black market ones. That's my opinion. Oh, they'll always exist. The black markets always have and always will exist. But I would just say that the central banks and the governments are the biggest existential threat to the cryptocurrencies. Let's just check in here and see. Also, China's announcing here. I just see a tweet crossing the line that China is announcing a big crackdown. Of course, they already have, but they're reiterating their restrictions and whatnot on the cryptos. Now, I want to just check in real quickly and see what that's done to the crypto markets. The NASDAQ's now up a paltry 26 points. The NASDAQ and the cryptos are pretty much tied at the hip as high-risk assets. You've got Bitcoin now down $3,527, you see. That's not good news that just came out. It's down 8.4% to $38,375. And the crypto index, the crypto 200 index, is down 7.4%. I was just looking at the tops of the Bitcoin Trust, which is GBTC. It's now down 38% from its peak in February. And the Ethereum Trust is down 37% from its peak in February. Now, the other big question that's been doging the crypto space has been this use of energy, which good old Elon Musk brought to light. Does it use massive amounts of energy? Is it bad for the planet? Well, you've got the University of Pennsylvania weighing in. You've said yes. Here's what they say. It takes a huge amount of energy. The IEA estimates, that's the International Energy Association, estimating that Bitcoin mining used 50 to 70 terawatt hours in 2019. Well, let's put that in terms that we can all understand. That's about as much as the country of Switzerland uses each year. But how that energy is generated is obviously key, but that is a lot of energy. Most of Bitcoin mining takes place in China, which burns more coal than any other country. But the computers that solve the math problems to reap Bitcoin get much of their power from non-carbon sources, chiefly hydroelectric, which China's Bitcoin miners tend to use because it's cheaper than coal. Well, I don't know. I just think it's an uphill battle from here. I think that Wednesday was a seminal day in the crypto space. And I said, you just watch. The hammer's coming down. I can hear the congressional investigations coming now. I can hear the tighter regulations coming now from the Treasury. And I can hear the government moving quickly, as fast as possible, to come up with their own cryptocurrency. Nevertheless, Cathie Wood is still a big buyer of Coinbase. She now owns $1 billion worth of shares. Okay, let's check in on Coinbase, because that really is a proxy for the entire sector. It's down 2.2% today. That stock has lost half of its value since opening day. Half of its value since opening day. It's still a $46 billion company, but it was a $90 billion company. I have no interest in Coinbase. Tim Cook takes the stand in Fortnite versus Apple. No, that's not a video game. That's real life. That's going to be an interesting one. You know, I read that Fortnite made $700 million from their Apple Store app. And Apple made $100 million. So basically, you know, one-eighth of the profits went to Apple for having it on their store. And then, of course, you had the Fortnite make it an in-app purchase. So once you downloaded the app from Apple, you really didn't pay anything. Once you got in there, you could make an in-app purchase and then subscribe. So then, you know, Fortnite got 100% of the revenue. They went around Apple, and Apple caught them, and they kicked them out of the store. And now there's lawsuits flying back and forth. That'd be interesting television to see Tim Cook on there explaining how much he takes out of people's hides. He's taken plenty out of my hide, I can tell you that, from my Best Stocks Now app. But this whole Fortnite thing, at least I got a raise. You know, he cut the tax that he was taking on me and others. Well, leave it to California. They're at it again. This is going to be a tough one. How many Ubers, how many of all the Lyft and Uber rides you've had, how many times were you picked up in an electric car? The California Air Resources Board unanimously adopts rules ordering that electric vehicles must account for 90% of Uber and Lyft's ride-hailing vehicle miles traveled by 2030, the first such regulation by a U.S. state. So if you're an Uber or Lyft driver in California and you drive a hybrid, or you drive a Volkswagen, or you drive a little van or whatnot, you're out of business unless you go pay up for an electric car. 90% goal is, and it's going to be mandatory. That comes from the California Air Resources Board. Well, more from California. This is my Grateful Dead story of the day, right? She wore scarlet begonias. Bill to legalize psychedelics in California to get full Senate vote. I just hope I'm not driving next to that guy, you know, when he's all psyched out listening to Scarlet Begonias on his radio at full blast. Low-value ETFs have been strong performers. Well, that's no revelation. I've been saying low PE. They're citing all these oil ETFs that have performed really well this year. And, of course, oil by nature trades at low PE. The other group that's really done well here this year are the banks. They historically trade at low P.E. ratios. WeWork losses swelled to $2.1 billion in quarter one. You know, I never did like that concept. That was, you know, that's sharing an office and these big open spaces where everybody can collaborate and, you know, bang on drums or whatever. And then along came COVID. And that wasn't a good deal, obviously. And along came people working from home. That wasn't a good deal. Yet Adam Neumann has made out like a bandit. Well, their losses swelled to $2.1 billion during the last 90 days. Ouch. Got some earnings coming in. Star Bulk Carriers, that's a one in the Baltic Dry Index. Diana Shipping, that's another one in the Baltic Index. They've reported earnings here. Diana's doing okay. Let's see how Starboard is doing. Starboard is SBLK, actually Safe Bulk Carrier. It is also doing okay, and that continues to be a hot sector in the market. I told you somebody would come out and say, "But you got to buy AT&T here. Look at that dividend yield." Well, Raymond James fulfilled my prophecy there. They say buy AT&T. I say there's no growth. And now here's an interesting ETF. How about the DSPAC? Oh, now you got my attention. This is inverse the SPAC index. That almost seems like a sure bet. Is that fair? Tuttle Capital Management is set to launch two new exchange-traded funds on Wednesday. The DSPAC ETF, DSPC, I'm writing that down, DSPC. This will be short the SPACs, and SOGU. S-U-G-U. They will be the first DSPAC pure play exchange traded funds that hit the marketplace. Somebody asked me if there's a way to short Bitcoin. Well, the only way I would know, you can short an ETF such as GBTC or that Ethereum ETF, ETHE. But I don't know of an inverse, an engineered inverse fund. Ford Electric F-150, wow, it knocked people's socks off. And it knocked 6 points off of Lordstown Motor. Canoe, Nikola, they all shivered yesterday as the Ford electric car zoomed around the track. And Ford's on the move. Ford meets my criteria right now. Keep an eye on that thing. It's a lot cheaper than Tesla. This is Gunderson. We'll be back with the best with a feature stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show for the week. And, of course, I send out the most important things that happened during this past week that really caught my eye. That goes out in my newsletter, which I'll be sending out here a little bit later this morning or early afternoon. And I send out my portfolios and the changes that I've made during the week. I send out my macro outlook on this market, which I've been right about for the last 13 years. I give out my target price on that and what the risks are to that target price that we have to watch every single day. A lot happened in the market this past week. I think it was a very seminal week for the cryptocurrencies, which could see no top. It seemed like there was no top in sight as Bitcoin was roaring past $60,000 per coin, seemingly on the way to $100,000. And the Woods team calling for a $50 trillion market or whatever it was for cryptocurrencies, and Coinbase, being bought up like crazy. But anyways, it's been a very seminal week in that space. And I think, I don't think it's ever going to be the same. I don't think you're going to see that kind of exuberance. What would Alan say? Alan Greenspan, noted for his irrational exuberance comments a little early on the NASDAQ, but he ended up being right. What would he say about Bitcoin? I think he's still with it. Age 90 or whatever he is, I'd like to hear his comment. I know what Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger thinks, and, of course, the Bitcoin crowd calls them grouchy old men, you know. They've been around for a while. You might want to listen to people that have been around for a while and have a little white in their beard. Well, I'm going to make deer my featured stock of the day. It is birthing season here in this neck of the woods. I was driving to the Home Depot the other day, and in our neighborhood we have a lot of geese. I think they're mostly from Canada. Some are from New Jersey, I suppose, and New York. But I had to stop at no crosswalk, but here comes Mama Goose crossing the road, about 8 babies following right behind. Let them go through, and the alligators are birthing. I saw about 9 little babies playing around on the grass outside the pond. You don't want to really tell the kids, hey, why don't you go play with the alligators? And I saw a little baby deer, I mean, just tiny. He must have just been born, crossing the road 2 nights ago. It was dark. I was coming home. He looked like a deer in the headlights. And he was. And I stopped and let the little fella, and there's always about 2 or 3 following. You got to be careful. And there they came, 2 or 3 more right behind them. Then I finally went. Well, John Deere is a little green tractor with yellow lettering that's been around for a long time. It's a $79 billion company. And it's a totally different stock from stocks I owned last year. Totally different. They manufacture tractors, combines, cotton and sugarcane harvesters, sprayers, mowers, backhoe launchers out of Moline, Illinois. And believe it or not, it's a solid play on the EV move. You don't think Deere's going to come up with a lot of EV stuff, electric vehicle? You know, they don't need 300 miles of range, just, you know, back to this side of the field and back and back and back and back and back. You can add it up. It's got to be less than 300 miles. There's got to be big electric batteries that can power these babies. So I think it's also a play on electric vehicles without a Tesla price. You've got a forward PE right now of 19 on Deere. The symbol is DE. And the growth rate's expected to be 19 over the next 5 years. 19% per year. That's earnings growth. That comes out to a PEG ratio of 1. That's right in my wheelhouse. What do they call it? Is it a wheelhouse on a tractor? I know on a boat it's a wheelhouse. You're in there with your big wheel, you know, and gazing out onto the horizon. Those tractors, they look pretty sweet. I mean, they're air-conditioned and they're GPS-driven, and I'm sure there are big stereos in there and everything. Probably a lot nicer than my office here. Heck, I'm kind of Spartan, actually. Those Deere tractors are beautiful. And pretty soon, I'm sure they'll get done at the end of the day of plowing or spraying or harvesting and plug it in at night. That's what I'm thinking. Deere is a $114 billion company. It has a dividend yield of 1%. I have a target price 5 years down the road of $710. It's at $366. And it's currently ranked, well, it was ranked number 8 2 months ago. That's about when I bought it. It has dropped recently to number 725. There's been some weakness in the cyclicals, which is bound to be from time to time. But you know what? If you've got a strategy that you think is the place to be this year, you stick with your strategy. And you may have some setbacks from here and again. But I'm sticking to my valuation and value strategy here in 2021. It's not going to roar like the growth stocks did last year, where you could have thrown a dart at any growth stock that made electric batteries and hit a home run. It's a lot harder this year, I'll say. And if you didn't get out of that whole mess, you know, at the right time, you continue to get run over by a Deere tractor. You better get out of the way. Those things hurt. Well, that's my featured stock of the day. We own it both in our premier growth portfolio and in our ultra growth, or our dividend and growth portfolio. And I bring up Deere because they reported earnings yesterday, and they had a very nice report. Stock's up $11 per share today, or 3.2%. Well, I'm looking forward to going down to Sarasota. I always love going down to Sarasota. Got some great restaurants, some great places to stay. But most of all, some great people, really great people. Sarasota is a great town. And I can't wait to get in front of a crowd again. It's been a while. Zoom just ain't the same. I'm sorry. I've done some workshops from Zoom. You get no feedback. You can't see people's faces. You don't know whether your joke flopped. They usually do. But I'll be down there June the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. All the snowbirds will be gone, but the locals will be there, I'm sure. And we'll be there for 3 days of appointments with prospects that might want to talk to us about doing business, managing your money. And I'll be doing that workshop on Wednesday. You can sign up for both, one or the other, or none at all. None of the above. Give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter this week. It's a barn burner. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.